let's pray. We'll get a lesson for tonight. Father Yah, we glorify you and we honor you as our Most High Yah, and we lift you up for all that you do. We just seek and ask for wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we count it a privilege just to have the opportunity to be led by you, and we glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. I want to look at some things in Matthew chapter 12, and we'll use that as a foundation for the lesson on tonight. There's just so much, so much going on. I sit down and wrote, had written some things just in response to Black Lives Matter. The cliche, I just call it the cliche for lack of a better way to put it. And also dealt with it with some things from a perspective of all lives matter. And I just kind of put Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. And what Yah led me to do was to show to give people an understanding of when things are from a wrong perspective by using those two. And it's vital for all of us, specifically those of us who are followers of Christ and are carriers of the of His mission and carriers of the message of the kingdom. We certainly do honor our Savior, but at the same time we want to submit to His will in taking on His mindset, which is to be pleasing to the Father, pleasing to the Father. That was his primary goal, we fall short. I saw it say we think, but I'm saying it boldly. We fall short when we spend time even focusing on Him from a perspective of just staying focused on Him. He wants us to focus on Him so we can understand how to get to our Father. He is the avenue. He's the source by which we are redeemed to have the intimate relationship with our Father. And so we have to be very wise in the time frame that we're living in, because there's just so much stuff out there. Even think about some of the things that our Israelite brethren who are way off course in some areas, and when you look at the things that they do, the things that they explain, we're gonna look at the mouth, which is Christ, for how to handle these things that we're dealing with in these last days. And then at the same time, we'll understand that there will come a time frame when Yah will require boldness to deal with some issues and to regroup some things. But everything has to be by Yah's leading, because when it's not, then it's never going to turn out right. Things are never going to turn out right. Just kind of using myself from perspective. Whenever I write, it is designed to bring about truth, and from that truth, to bring about understanding of what the real issue is. So if I write you know, from a perspective of saying we are hated as a people, that's the truth. You know, that's not something that I'm taking on from a personal opinion. It is something that I'm saying based upon perception of the truth. First of all, the scripture identifies some things from that perspective, and then you can look at factual information to see that is a or the truth from the perspective of hate is concerned. And so for me saying that, it's not that I'm putting down other races of people or saying that, you know, because I identify certain nations of people as the enemy, it's what the Bible, I'm saying what the Bible says. And so, you know, in other writings I've done, even from the perspective of an enemy, when I said, you know, I identified who the enemies are, we are in the land of our enemies. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. We're in the land of our enemies, but at the same time, it is for those who live in this land to realize that when I say enemy, you know, you pay attention enough, then you realize that we're enemies to ourselves as a nation of people, as well as you know, there are being enemies as far as other nations of people are concerned. You know, and I point out that, hey, if a person get offended because I say the word enemy, then it exposes the individual for actually being that, you know, for that being the case. You know, if a person is, you know, his old saying, if the shoe fits, then wear it, you know, type of deal. And so all these things are going on. We have to be wise. You know, we can't take up causes that's not, I'm going to say it like the way I heard it by the Spirit. We can't take up causes that is not laced with the will of Yah. That's not laced with the Spirit of Yah. If I can't see Yah in an agenda, then I have no interest in leading Yah's people into that agenda. I don't care what it is. I don't care how positive it is. If Yah, you know, we've said this time and time again. If, you know, just because a thing is a good idea doesn't mean it's a Yah idea. And we're in days where we have to make sure that we're taking on the causes that Yah is decreeing for us. And I even think about, you know, we got a family reunion that's coming up in 2017. Yah led me to say, okay, you know, he's like, I call you to some other things, and from that perspective, you know, you turn that over to other people that can deal with it, because I call you to be beyond what's going on as far as even the cause, as far as family is concerned. You participate and, you know, you do what you can, but at the same time, that's not your primary focus. You know, there are things that I've called you to do, whereas other people around you should be able to handle. So that's my perspective on it. I'm really, you know, getting to where I'm more and more focused on what Yah is doing and what he's saying, you know, specifically as far as the kingdom is concerned. And, you know, and I just, you know, I appreciate all of you and the things that you do to enable me to focus on that even more now. You know, I appreciate Elder, you know, Alan, as he stepped more so in his role, and that's taking a lot of burden off of me, because it's just some things, you know, it's just some things I don't even want to be bothered with now. It's not that they're not important, it's just that y'all saying to me that's not important enough for you to be dealing with. You know, there are other people who I will put on their heart to show the importance of it being done, and they'll get it done. And it removes that burden for me because of the task that we have ahead of us and what I'm born to do. So So we again, we have to be wise. And so I want to look at Matthew chapter 12 because I want to see how the Savior operates when it comes down to certain issues, so that we'll know how to operate when issues may arise that may be similar in one facet or another. I prayed, right? I think I prayed. Okay. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 says, at that time Yehoshua went on the Sabbath day through the corn as wheat, y'all. And his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And if you understand some things from the perspective of our Sabbath, we are not to do, you know, certain forms of labor. You know, you have something else.
Yeah, I just had a comment.
Go ahead.
I mean, just from that perspective, what they're saying is what the Pharisees or whoever are saying is stupid, because it's not like they're harvesting. They're just getting something to eat. It ain't like they're out there plowing up the whole field to do work. They're just getting whatever they need to eat food. So, I mean, that perspective that they have is dumb to me personally.
But, right, and so I mean, and just to kind of look at some things as far as the law is concerned. Now, when I say law, when you hear me say law, I'm talking about at least mainly the first five books of the Bible. That's the law of Moses. And so you look at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So anytime the scripture is referring to the law, it is talking about, not just talking about the Ten Commandments, but it's talking about the law of Moses. And then he'll say the prophets at times. And so so when you look at that, they're saying, you know, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do up on the Sabbath day. And like I said, you know, like Ella said, you can, you know, you will find people who will look for anything to try to bind us to things as far as the Sabbath and things like that. And I can't remember if our Savior says it in this passage, as we read, we'll find out. But he basically pointed out in other scriptures, or if not in this passage here, that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so he deals with things in the verses that we're about to read to show you that. But just to show you that, just to talk about some things as far as the Sabbath is concerned, you can look at Deuteronomy 23, verse 25. It says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor, not thy neighbor's standing corn. In other words, you can pluck the grain. So they were doing that which was lawful, but they had issues with them doing it on the Sabbath. Okay, and so as you see them as they walk through in verse 1, it says his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. And Deuteronomy 23 and 25 allows that to be done. Again, Deuteronomy 23 and 25 says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor. It wasn't the disciples or the Savior's, you know, cornfield, but they were obeying or operating according to the law. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, thou shalt then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. In verse 3, verse 2 said, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did? You can find this in 1 Samuel 21, verse 6. And if you notice, our Savior always answers things according to that which is written. That's why when you go to Matthew chapter 3, when he dealt with Satan, he kept saying, it is written. It is written. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I thank Yah for his wisdom, is whenever I write things, I can't recall times when there has been a debate based upon what I've written. Because anytime I write, I try my best to write from a perspective of what is written, to stay in line with that written. And then it reminds me of what is saying. Y'all should go there. Go to Galatians 6. Keep Matthew 12, but we're coming back. But he said go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, and this is why. Anytime, well, I'll just read it, and then I'll make the comment. No, Galatians 5. Yeah, Galatians 5, we'll start at verse 22. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." Now, when you look at the word "fruit," it has, and I'm just trying to go back to the meanings and stuff. So, when you look at fruit, that's why y'all took me there. It's in the same thing as far as plucking up the corn. So, it says the fruit, it means to pluck, catch away, to catch away or up, take by force, it gives them to seize. So to seize, I'll just use that word, to seize the spirit, that is an individual that has been seized by the spirit manifests these things, love. Galatians 5 verse 22. So when the Spirit of Yah leads us, then we are seized, we have been seized to produce something that the Spirit manifests. So the fruit are that has seized me. And caused me to operate by the leading of the Spirit is love. So when I'm doing something and love is manifesting, you're seeing the Spirit of Yah, the mental disposition of Yah that causes me to manifest that love unconditional. So the truth, these things that feed us where it is displayed is love, fruit of the Spirit, mental disposition. We obviously know it's the Holy Spirit because it's Yah's mindset. Is love, agape, unconditional, joy. Joy means a calm delight. So when it doesn't matter how crazy it gets, I'm still going to be calm, and my delight is still always in Yah, no matter how crazy it gets. That is the fruit. That is the Spirit has seized me when I can be calm when things are crazy. So we live in a chaotic world right now, but we have to display the joy, the calm, demeanor, gladness, but it shows a calm delight, you know, that we don't allow what goes on in society affect us in a negative way. And we look at peace, quietness, okay. I like to, you know, peace also has to do with prosperity. So when I didn't have a dime, I was still peaceful. I still had peace because it wasn't based upon my outward condition. It was based upon what was going on inwardly. And so long suffering, the ability to endure, you know, patience. Gentleness, kindness, and obviously faith. And so anytime I see the word faith, it is us putting our trust in Yah. I don't categorize my faith anywhere else. So whenever someone says, you know, you have faith. I try not to associate faith in individuals. My faith is always Yah. That's a word that I set aside specifically for Yah, and I don't give nobody else that credit. Because when I say faith, then I am putting my complete trust in that individual. There's only one. That's Yah. I believe in you. Yeah, I believe in you, but at the same time, you are just like I am. There's a side to us whereby we may fail one another for whatever reason or another. And so that's why the safest thing to do is to put our faith in Yah. So I reserve that word strictly for Yah. I don't have faith in the chair. I ain't going to put my life on the chair holding me up. But I will put my life on Yah holding me up. And so all those words, then it says meekness, meekness, and that's a form of humility. Temperance, that's self-control, you know. We don't allow circumstances to get us out of control of what has seized us, the spirit. Okay. It don't mean that I have self-control because I hadn't got out of hand in a circumstance. My self-control is when is in reference to who I'm seized by. You know, you can have a gun and they can call me be self-controlled, but that don't mean it's by the Spirit. It just means that you got something that I can't pop your side of the head with and get away with. You know, I can't pop your side of the head and get away with it because you got something that make me now be in self-control. Well, that's not the Spirit, because when it's the Spirit, I don't care what you got. Okay, and so... So when you look at temperance, and then what it says, against such there is no law. There is no law. The Greek word is nomos, so there is no law or principle. So when you hear law, it's principle. So I'm using this to go back and show you how when we operate in this way, there is no law associated with it that can, as the scripture goes on and says, against such there is no law. If I operate within those boundaries, then there is no law that can condemn me. Now, with that understanding now, we go back to Matthew chapter 12, and we understand the mindset of the Savior as he deal with what the Pharisees are accusing him and his disciples of. Okay? So now, anybody say something? Elder, you have something? Okay. Now, we'll go back to Matthew chapter 5 with that same understanding that if we operate by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. I think there's one more. I can't remember.
Faith.
Who?
Faith.
That's one of the faith. Those nine, against such there is no law. Now, when we get back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 2, it says, But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. Now, based upon what we now understand in Galatians chapter 5, we now see why this was not an issue, because they were not doing something based upon a lack of the fruit of the Spirit. They were not doing something based upon them not being seized by the Spirit to be led to know that this was okay. Okay, because they didn't have no ill reasons for doing this here. They didn't do it based on, hey, let's go in this field and steal some of this wheat. It wasn't something manifesting in their mind that was opposite of what the Spirit would seize them on. Okay, verse 2 says, but when his disciples saw it, they said unto him, behold, our disciples do that which is not lawful to do up on the Sabbath day. But he said, but Yehoshua said, the Savior said, but he said unto them, have ye not read what David did? And we find that in 1 Samuel 21:6. You can turn there if you want to. 1 Samuel 21:6 says, so the priest gave him hollow bread, for there was no bread there but the show bringing that was taken from before Jehovah to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So this is what this is referring to when David did this in 1 Samuel 21, verse 6. And verse 3 says, but he said unto him, have you not read what David did when he was an hungry? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of Yah and did eat the showbread, verse 4, which was not lawful for him to eat. What does Galatians 5 say? The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on and so forth. Against such, there is no law. If I operate by the Spirit, then the law can't condemn what the Spirit now has manifested for me to operate in. Okay? Again, how he entered, verse 4, into the house of Yah and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only the priest. The showbread was only available for the priest. Then he says in verse 5, have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Okay. You read that in Numbers chapter 28, verse 9. It says, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot and 2 tenth deals of flour for a meal offering mingled with oil. And the drink offering thereof. Verse 5 again said, or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Verse 6 says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Okay? One greater than the temple. Verse 7 said, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He would not have condemned the guiltless. Okay, to show the issue here was about mercy based upon the circumstance. This is like what Elder said. The disciples were hungry, so the Pharisees should have had mercy to understand that okay, they're hungry, and since they're hungry, There is a just cause for them to grab some of the wheat as they're going through the field and to eat some of it. You now don't just stick by the rules just because it's a rule. One of the things I can't stand is for a person to be so rule-oriented to the point where they don't have wisdom enough to do that which is right.
Like zero tolerance.
Zero, exactly. You know, and so... You know, it takes wisdom to be able to operate in something. I just saw this by the Spirit, so I use it as an example. It is lawful to stop at a red light, but not when somebody's behind me blowing their horn and don't have brakes for me to sit there and obey that law. Mercy now gives me the ability to say, well, let me run this light. And, you know, y'all forbid there's no other traffic, you know, coming. We'll just, you know, say it's a perfect circumstance to do it. Law forbid for me to sit there at the light basically because the law now says that and there's no tolerance for running the light. Well, anybody with common sense or godly wisdom would say, man, that he was wise for running that light to keep that car from crashing in the back of him and causing serious issues. And so we have to be wise enough to understand that, yeah, there are things put in place as far as the law is concerned, but we have to understand that the leading of the Spirit would trump any law. Because when the Spirit leads us and we operate according to the Spirit, there is no law now that you can put up beside it to now call that individual to be guilty based upon them being led by the Spirit of God. And so that's the reason why it doesn't matter what seems to be right or wrong. It's you know, based upon what is there from a perspective of rules and revelation, it all boils down to what the Spirit of Yah is saying, or what Yah is saying by the Spirit.
I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense when you think about it. It helps you reconcile things. I mean, I even say, help me reconcile. Although I haven't reconciled this, you know, but I just make the statement.
Yes,
so,
and transparent.
So things like, for example, where the law says thou shalt not kill, then y'all turn around and say, okay, kill all of them and don't spare nobody, right? So from that perspective, those rules are in place and they are what they are. But by the same token, y'all can come back around and say, hey, do this. And what he's saying do is what you do.
And that's a good example. We have to understand, that's why it's vitally important for us to be led by the Spirit of Yah. It's vitally important. The scriptures are put there for us to have boundaries according to the laws of Yah. But at the same time, Yah may move us outside something that we can look in the scripture and say, no, that shouldn't be that way. Thou shalt not kill. That is put in place so that we don't go around as nuts deciding that we want to take a life anytime we want to. We'll see anything happen. So that law is being broken, but at the same time, there could be a reason whereby that law being broken, the person that breaks it is innocent because of the circumstance that's presented. So I don't now jump up and say Black Lives Matter concerning everybody. That's why I don't jump on that, because the rule doesn't apply to everybody. That's a black lie. That's a fool. And I'll be like, that's coming. But then on the other hand, there are some who that rule or that saying applies to. It don't apply to every black life. Although when you look at it from a big picture perspective, yeah, it does. But when you look at the reason why it's established, it is saying, don't kill us. Well, some nuts then, man. I've been like, man, I've been in that situation. I'll pop that brother too. Come to my front door and attack me and my family. Your black life's not going to matter. Okay. White life's not going to matter. You know what? All lives not going to matter. Come through that front door unannounced. And ready to take out me and my family. Ain't no life coming through that door gonna matter unless Yah said, you know, that's the only way. Well, Ned, I got to be me, you know. And so it that's why it requires us to operate in wisdom and to be led by the Spirit of Yah. You can see this happening in the scripture, verse 4. Again, you have something else?
I mean, that applies in so many different areas. I mean, different things where, you know, people use all kinds of stuff where, you know, obey the law of the land, which is true. Mm-hmm. But there are circumstances where, you know, you need to do what Yah is saying, not what the law of the land is saying, right? So it's all these things where, you know, you need to understand those things. Even when you look, for example, at like a Daniel or somebody like that, you know, the law of the land say you're going to bow down to whoever.
Right.
But the Spirit is saying, don't you do that, right?
Exactly. And that's why I use the example as far as the flag. I'll stand up when they say the Pledge of Allegiance. I just do it. But I'm not going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, because I don't pledge my allegiance to nobody but Yah. So if I pledge my allegiance to that flag, then from my awareness, it is idolatry. I have insight to whom much is given, much is required. So because I understand what that really is, I can't pledge my allegiance to it. And at the same time, I'll stand out of respect for people whose faith are weak. Don't have the faith in Yah to understand or have the awareness that I have. I'll stand up not to offend them. But at the same time, I'm not going to now get outside the leading of the Spirit by confessing my allegiance to something that I know is a symbol of idolatry. Now, y'all tell me to sit there and not move, guess what I'm going to do? And so I don't give a person an opinion based upon what's right or wrong to do in that circumstance. You got to let y'all lead you. He may tell me it's okay to stand, and he may tell you, you sit there and don't move. Well, I'm going to stand. You better sit there. I'm not going to do what you're doing just because you're doing it. Now you lead me. It's vitally important for y'all to lead each one of us because he may be wanting to do something specific as far as both ends are concerned. Okay? You know, I want to understand, but I want to have an effect. Either way it goes, it's right when it's the leading of y'all because nobody's going to have anything to say because we're being led by y'all and it is done. Is done in love, a joy, peace, long suffering, those fruit of the Spirit. So there is no law that can now judge the individual who's doing it. So if I sit there doing the pledge of allegiance, nobody's going to say nothing because the Spirit of God is upon me now. Ain't no law. You can't judge me. My standard of operation is at a higher level before the world. Can't nobody judge it. My brain and the wisdom of y'all. You can't judge that. That's why, again, when I write, nobody says anything in a way that brings across their judgment because there is no judgment when y'all is leading. They agree or shut up. It's the only way it can be. Against such, there is no law. We have to be led by the Spirit of y'all in everything that we do. Whatever you do, allow Yah to lead you. Then that way, nobody can condemn. Nobody can. There is no law. Make sure your phone's on mute, everyone, unless you have something to say. Now, anything else? Anything else? Okay. Now, he says in verse 6, I started verse 6 again. He said, but I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I would have mercy and I would have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. They were guiltless because they operated from the fruit of the Spirit. By the Spirit. Then verse 8 says, for the Son of Man is Lord Jehovah, even of the Sabbath. Y'all say, I brought the Sabbath. Yes, I set the Sabbath aside for you to rest and to honor me in your rest on that Sabbath to even, you know, to even gather to get in the Word on the Sabbath. Yeah, I set that aside for it to be done, but I'm Yah of the Sabbath. Now, don't get caught up into the Sabbath now to the point where I can't lead you. That's why I laugh at a lot of Israelite brothers because they're so caught up into the beard thing now. All the men have to wear beards. All the men have to wear beards. If you don't wear your beards, you have to will of y'all. But the law says, well, y'all led this nut here to cut his. Talk about myself. Y'all said, don't grow yours because you're in mourning for the nation. Do the same thing as I believe Ezekiel. Do the same thing as Ezekiel did. Cut yours off and let it go in the wind. To show those who understand the law that there's something going on with you. Yeah, it goes against the law from a perspective of when you look at what's written, but I'm leading you, so there is no judgment. So when I get around, I'll be sitting there with their beards, but they can't say nothing. They can't condemn because there is no law when I operate in the love or the joy or the peace, the long when I operate according to the fruit of the Spirit of God. Y'all have to do that. Now, we know people always have something to say, but at the same time, you know, there is no standard that could be raised to contradict that which Yah is leading you to do, leading us to do. Okay. Verse 8 says, for the Son of Man is Jehovah, even of the Sabbath. Verse 9 says, and when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they ask him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? See, they're still caught up. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him? See, look at the spirit by which they operate in. It was not what we read in Galatians 5. Here this man's hand is withered. They have no concern or no compassion or no mercy for this man. They're concerned about their own agenda because they're looking for accusations.
What law is it, though, that say you can't heal somebody on the Sabbath?
The only thing they had to go by was from a traditional standpoint of just saying, okay, we don't supposed to do nothing on the Sabbath. We're supposed to rest. And, you know, come to the synagogue, and that's all we're supposed to do on Sabbath. You have some people who traditionally operate that way. You have something
else? No, I guess not.
Okay. We got time. You need to say something. Now, again, verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? He said, okay, and you can go to Exodus chapter 23, because they're trying to use the law to condemn me. He turned around and used the law to bring judgment on them. And you see it in Exodus 23 verse 4 says, if thou meet thy enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Verse 5, if thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and what is prepared to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. So there are things that's laying out that he's laying out according to the law that said these things are right because it shows the spirit of the individual, the fruit of the individual. It shows what has the individual seed. If we're not going to do that which is right because it's the Sabbath, then something is wrong. I don't care what day it is, just as long as righteousness prevails. So if the law said a certain thing we're supposed to do on the Sabbath, but righteousness now, by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, says something different, then we better make sure we're operating by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. Now, verse 11 says, he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on him and lift it out? Verse 12, how much more then is a man better than a sheep? If you can now work to get this sheep out of a ditch, which from a perspective we're supposed to rest on the Sabbath, but if you can now operate within the law to help a man on the Sabbath to deal with his animal, then how much more important it is to help this man with his withered hand? How much more important that man is than a sheep?
I think that's like today, that's something that's socially acceptable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like getting the sheep out of the pit was socially acceptable. So they didn't think nothing about that. But this other stuff is stuff that they have deemed, this is something you don't do kind of deal, which is the same kind of stuff that operate now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like stuff that people do that's wrong, but it's socially acceptable. And then it's stuff that ain't socially acceptable and everybody condemn.
Right. Exactly. Verse 12 now. Verse 12 says, How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath? See, the issue is well. Is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath? Yeah, there are rules and regulations set up, but you have to understand, is it lawful to do well? That well means to cover, to be good, to do that which is honest. Morally right. Is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath? Bottom line, this man has a withered hand. This is something. Well, we don't want this man walking around with his withered hand, so we're gonna now trump the Sabbath over this man's hand to give him to put him in a position where he can be healed just because it's on the Sabbath day. But I say the same, verse 13. 14 says, then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. Actually, they wanted to kill him. But I like the Savior's mentality in it, and our Israelite brothers can learn this. Matter of fact, Christians can learn from our Savior. It amazes me how we want to follow him, but we don't want to follow his example. Like what Elder just said, you know, everybody want to do that which is good from our perspective, but we don't want to just do that which is right. And so my mindset, that's why when I wrote even on the day, I said, you know what, I'm not taking sides, I'm just about truth. If truth is in the issue, I jump on that side in a minute. I don't care if it's people lives matter. If truth is associated with what's going on, I'm in. But let Yah be the truth and every man a liar. If Yah can't be glorified in Black Lives Matter, I don't have an interest. If Yah can't be glorified in All Lives Matter, I don't have an interest. But if you want to glorify Yah, I'm going to be first in line. Okay. And so I like the Savior's mindset. So these men, these Pharisees are taking counsel to kill him in verse 14. But look at what the Savior does. Look at how he handles circumstance. But when Yehoshua knew it, he withdrew himself from them. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. What was the instruction that we've been given here in reference to all this crazy stuff that's going on? When you see them gathering, go somewhere else. Anytime you see something that is being gathered up and you don't see Yah in the middle of it, go the other way. That's why I made a statement. Don't get caught up into these marching, these protesting, shutting down the freeway, and all this kind of crazy stuff, because now we're making it known that we really matter. No, go the other way.
I have a comment. I think it's an interesting concept, especially from the perspective of how people operate today. It's kind of like, it's almost like, you know, a person today, you got to stand for whatever cause. Well, you need to stand for the cause that Yah leads you to stand for. So in this example, they coming against him, he goes somewhere else. But in another example, when they doing these things in the temple, he get angry and he beat them out, right? So it's kind of like, you know, however that go, you need to let Yah be the one that's leading you in those circumstances, and don't just hop on it because I'm a Christian and they done said something about this or whatever. You know, from that perspective, you always got to let Yah be the governor.
Exactly. Even when you look at the example that Elder just used, When you read all the gospel, you'll see that the Savior came in the temple and he observed everything. And he came back the next day and beat people out of the temple. He just went up in there and said, oh, it's going down. No, he observed. He went in there and checked it all out. Yah leading it. And when he came back, Yah led it. And that's when Yah led him, the disciples said, Oh, I remember what the scripture said. The scripture said this about the Savior, that the zeal for his father's house has eaten him up. Yah being glorified. So even when Christ did that, they didn't see the man. They saw the man being led by the Spirit to glorify the Father and his house. Have no interest or no agenda. You'd be shocked at the amount of preachers who have called me to try to get me to participate in a cause that's going on. As a matter of fact, you know, we're getting our building ready to the Remnant Center ready for Yah to be glorified in it. You know, I had a pastor call me and says, hey, Brother Boyd, you know, I know this group who's looking for the space. Women against police brutality or something like that. He said, they looking for the space. He said, I told them about their building. You told them for wrong, boy. I don't have no interest in that. Y'all not lead me that way. I don't want some folks sitting up in here with an agenda that has nothing to do with the Spirit of Yah. You throwing all the police in the same basket. No, I don't like what you symbolize and what you represent, because you just saying, you know, you come across the same anything that go on, because remember, we got some black lives that's crazy. Okay, so I can't just put them up there representing their agenda, and it's not in line with the Spirit of Yah. We're not interested. It's not interested. Now look up the scripture goes on to say here. I'm going to read verse 15 again. It says, but when Yehoshua knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. See, great things happening when we live by the Spirit. Foolishness happening when we live by roots and causes and all this that has nothing to do with Yah. Verse 16 said, and charged them that they should not make him known. Why? Look at, I love verse 17, 18, all those up in there, verse 19, verse 20. It when I read them, I just get so excited. I'm about to have a fit trying to hold, to be patient enough to get there. Because it excites me to see the mindset of the Savior to let me know, Lord, you must have his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yeshua. Look at his mind now. And he charged them that they should not make him known. What most preachers want everybody to know. Especially if they're doing healing. They're on radio, they're on TV. Come get this healing. Come get this holy water. Come get this laying on hands. We have a revival. Everybody want to be known when it comes down to them doing something for what they say is Yah. But it ain't nothing for their sake. Our Savior was only interested in people. I'm going to tell you something. When we get this building ready, our grand opening, we're not going to invite preachers. We're not going to invite all these things, huh? We don't have a problem with it. But we're not specifically going out to do the church stuff. We're going to invite the people in the community, those that don't have nothing, the lame, the sick, the maimed, all those who really have a need. We're going to invite them to come sit there and be a part of the grand opening, because if we do it for a bunch of preachers, then we're going to be getting letters from them in the mail the next 3 weeks inviting us to their, whatchamacallit. The Bible says, do that for those which are maimed and sick, because they can't pay you back. And when they can't pay you back, y'all say, I'm looking at you, will reward you now. I don't want man to pay me back for what I do. I need Yah to bless my hand. So that's who we're going to cater to. We will not have one event where we're calling a bunch of churches. Not interested. The harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. We are called to seek and save that which is lost. I have no interest in dealing with church folks. Again, look at his mindset, verse 16, and he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah prophet, saying, look at what it says about it now. Behold my servant. This is what y'all are saying about the Savior Christ. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Matthew 3. This is my beloved son, in him whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit up on him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. How is he showing it? Look at how he's showing it. He shall not strive. nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. He's not standing up there and saying, "Oh, you Gentiles going to hell," like these Israelites do, or like church folks do. That wasn't his mentality. So when you see that kind of stuff going on amongst Christians and Israelites who have come into a certain amount of knowledge about who we are as a people and saying that all Israel is going to be gathered and you know, into the kingdom and everybody else is going to be slaves and all this kind of stuff, when you see that mentality, that is an outcry, that is a mob type of mentality, and it goes against the mindset of Christ. It should go against every mindset that is being led by the Spirit. Because it's not love, it's not joy, it's not peace. It is causing issues to arise because laws now can be set up against that foolishness. But we operate according to love, like the way the Savior is, there is no law, there is no dispute. Verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. He, his mentality, his demeanor was in such humility that he wasn't always going around trying to be noted. That killed every preacher just about. Everybody's trying to be noticed. Everybody's trying to get famous. Everybody's trying to be world renowned. Everybody's trying to preach around the world. Everybody's trying to do all these things. I just want what Christ wants. I want his mindset. Like what he goes on and says in the book of Luke, he said, okay, when you go to a supper, he said, when the Lord of the supper bids you to come in, he said, don't go sit up in the best seat. He said, because somebody may come in that's more important than you. And when they're more important than you, then the guest, the host of the dinner will now reach over and tell you to go farther down to a lower seat. Now you're embarrassed. I'm just paraphrasing how you said it. He said, but instead, when you're bidden to come up, he said, take the lower seat. He said, then allow the Lord of that dinner, that supper now, to call you up to a higher seat. He said, now you're honored, because those who are abased shall be exalted, but those who are exalted shall be abased. That's what's going on with all this stuff that's going on, that's happening in the world today. Everybody has an agenda, and they are pushing something to exalt themselves, including Black Lives Matter. Most people don't realize, I think I've said it before, Black Lives Matter is funded mainly by Europeans. A son of Jason. So Black Lives Matter being funded by somebody who really, when you look at it, are uncovering it, don't have interest in Black Lives Mattering, because the agenda is bigger than that. I guarantee you, probably turn around paying for the same sign to come out there saying all lives matter, because it's all about chaos. But our Savior is clear from his perspective and how he operates. I want to be like him. Verse 19 says, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. We have to make sure that we are operating by the leading of the Spirit of Yah to the point where we can reach any nation. If all we as Israelites can do is reach Israelites, I'm wrong. Because we're called to be a witness to all men. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with teaching the order of it. There's nothing wrong with teaching the truth. In such there is no law. But as who we are, as representatives of the Most High, having the mind of the Savior, we should be doing things that call all nations to see. Yeah. Now, as I get ready to close, not boasting, when I write, all nations respond. Every time I write, all nations respond. White, black, Hispanic, so on and so forth. All nations respond. Why? Because it's Yah being glorified, not me now trying to put forth some type of agenda. That's how you know it's Yah. Gentile will see it when it's Yah. But when it's man, only specific people who are catered to that agenda will see. I want to be like my Savior, Christ. I want to glorify my Father. And I pray that each one of you do the same. All right? I'm finished. Any questions, comments? Ellie, you got something else? We all good? Any questions or comments from anybody? We all understand? All right.
I have just one minor comment.
Okay.
You were talking about Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. It's like everything matters. We have a TV station here, and their theme is East Texas Matters, and it's like it's interesting how all of a sudden everything matters.
Right. Everything matters, but what's the most important? Yeah. Everybody's trying to exalt themselves. Put the focus on themselves, and the sad thing about it is it is to everything else's detriment. When I matter to your detriment, that's not the spirit of Yah. All right. Anything else? Anybody? Okay. I'm finished. Father Yah, we bless you again. We thank you for bringing us into another path of understanding. We just continue to seek you to lead and guide us to manifest and to continue to manifest what you've taught us on tonight. And we glorify you for that. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for our Savior. And most of all, we honor you. You are our Most High Yah and Father, whom we desire to serve you to the best of our ability. And we give you the glory for that. In the wonderful name of our Savior, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's all I have. Y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.